San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 13, 2020. Today's lesson is A Day of Remembrance with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. It does seem as though it is appropriate to go through our Day of Remembrance during this quest for knowledge, because for many people, there was such a, what happened? How did this happen? And so we were seeking answers. Now today we have another opportunity to recognize together that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And that one power is God, the living Spirit Almighty, one, indestructible, absolute and self-existent cause in which we, every single one of us, live and move and have our being. Now in our science of mind teachings, we know that God is the one power and presence that makes all. It makes everything. It makes all things possible, and all things are possible. Listen carefully to those words with an open heart and an open mind, especially today as we remember the events of September 11th, 2001. Perhaps more than any other time in your life, you must understand the spiritual truth within that concept, because it will set the tone for today's lesson, today's experience, today's day of remembrance. In the Holy Scriptures, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it is written, "With God, all things are possible." With God, all things are possible. And what does that really mean? All things are possible? It means the good, the bad, the indifferent, the unimaginable, and the inconceivable terror are all possible in this thing called life. God is all there is. There is no separation. We live, we move, we have our being in this divine essence of unconditional love and light, regardless of the appearance. And we believe that God is personal to all who feel that indwelling presence. Friday was September 11th. And, you know, I love the daily word. It has, every day it has a word that is right for me. And Friday's was remembrance. In unity, I remember. It says, though we all lead individual lives and have different priorities, certain dates on the calendar represent anniversaries of loss or celebration that are marked communally. In such days, I can feel drawn to others or find myself performing kind acts that may bring a smile to someone's face. Instead of pushing these feelings aside, I lean into them, appreciating and embracing the experience of unity that they bring, connecting me with the rest of humanity. I pause to remember the reasons for celebrations and lessons learned in loss. As I honor the legacy of all those who came before me, I join in the consciousness of oneness with all people. This is what unity says about remembrance. In unity, I remember. In the Bible, John chapter 17, verse 23, it says, "I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In times such as what we experienced as a nation and as a planet on September 11th, 2001, in such times, people can say, well, where was God? How could God allow any of this to happen? How could all of these people have died? How could the perpetrators have even conceived of such an attack? Well, with God, all things are possible. I remember telling someone, they wanted to know how people in other nations could be celebrating the events of 9/11 when we were so devastated here in the United States. And I reminded them of the principles of science of mind. And I said, what you think about comes about when you absolutely believe and can only conceive of success in your mission, you succeed. Now to us, that was not a success. To the people who planned it, it was an enormous success. It broke our hearts. It broke some people forever. But the law was working. The law was working. And we always have the opportunity to create in our own lives the things that support us, the things that heal us. There was an essay written shortly after the 2001 attacks, and I hope that it will bring you some comfort this morning. You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, honey, I'm not going to make it, but it is okay. I'm ready to go. I was with his wife when he called, as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words, as she realized he really wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help for the very first time in her life. I have been knocking on your door for 50 years, I said. Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now. I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith had saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was everywhere. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor, sought me with their very last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. Come to me, this way, take my hand. Some had never heard my voice before, and a few chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you, but someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then at any moment, you will know you are ready to go, and I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Today is a day of remembrance. We're gathered here this morning to remember those who were murdered in the worst terrorist attack on United States soil. We also have an opportunity to reach out to those who survived that horrific day and to comfort each other in unity and understanding, regardless of race, creed, religion, or political affiliation. Today we are one human family, seeking solace, peace of mind, and peace in our hearts. For many, 9/11 is a day of confusion, anger, mixed emotions, and memories of unimaginable horror and sorrow. It's also a day of forgiveness, healing, and deep spiritual reflection. It's personal to each one of us here this morning. 19 years ago, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, our fellow citizens, our way of life, and our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. When hijackers crashed two passenger airlines into both twin towers of the World Trade Center, American Airlines Flight 11 and United Airlines Flight 175. That forever changed the skyline of New York City and forever changed the consciousness of the world. Shortly after that, another plane was deliberately crashed into the United States Pentagon outside Washington, D.C. My ex-husband was at work, on his way to work, at the Pentagon that day. He was running late, thank God. And he was in the backup traffic getting into the gate when the plane hit. I am so thankful. My children did not lose their father that day. A fourth hijacked airliner was courageously overtaken by some brave men and women and eventually crashed into a meadow in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. These brave passengers and crew members on Flight 93 gave their lives so that the massive destruction was averted on the terrorist's intended target, the White House. And so 19 years later, we remember the most tragic and spiritually heartrending experience in our nation's history. We honor the thousands who perished aboard the planes, in the buildings, all who died on the ground, and the countless policemen, firemen, clergy, and citizens who gave their lives as first responders on that fateful morning and in the days, months, and years that followed. It was an event that changed and continues to challenge the minds and hearts of those of us who love America and what she stands for. If you were old enough to remember and experience 9/11, you have never been the same since that day. In an evening address to a stunned and grieving nation 19 years ago, then President George W. Bush said the following: "Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. America was targeted for attack because we're the biggest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining. Today, we keep that light shining in our hearts and in our memories of that tragic day." Now, throughout this morning, I'm going to be giving you selected readings from the Science of Mind textbook, different poems, different inspirational words. And then I'm going to wrap up with, what did we learn? What did we learn? In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes wrote, "The pure in heart shall see God." The peacemakers are called the children of God. We never associate warriors with the divine kingdom. Struggle and strife are outside the kingdom. They cannot enter in because of their confusion. Only peace can enter the gates of reality and sit at the table of love. The divine host does not serve his bounty to confusion, but distributes his gifts to those who enter his gates with peace in their minds and love in their hearts. Ye are the light of the world. Man is the candle of the Lord. How important then that this light be kept trimmed and burning with the oil of pure spirit through the wick of peace and joy. In this way do we glorify that indwelling God who is the heavenly Father and the cosmic Mother of all." The dawn has come. Out of the darkness of the long night, the dawn has come. I rise to meet the new day, filled with confidence and strength. I arise and go forth into the dawn, inspired and refreshed by the living spirit within me. O day, you shall never die, and the sun shall never set upon your perfect glory. For the lamp of the soul has been rekindled with the oil of faith, and love has cleansed the windows of life with the spirit of gladness. They shall never more grow dim with fear, for perfect love casteth out all fear. I am renewed in strength through knowing God. My light has come. Thank you. The Daily Word has a piece on world peace, and it accompanies a Bible verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And it's world peace. I imagine a world transformed by peace and love. World peace begins with my mind and heart. Closing my eyes, I breathe deeply and envision every person bringing forth the love and peace of God. I see all the world's people surrounded by a healing light that transforms strife, anger, and division into reconciliation, peace, and unity. As I hold this vision, I see the entire world aglow with radiance. Harmony and cooperation heal the world's wounds and encourage love to flow to each person's heart. I carry this vision throughout my day. Divine love, expressing as me, sees oneness regardless of apparent differences. Divine wisdom and understanding illumine my thoughts, inspire my words, and guide me to act in ways that bring peace to the world. Ernest Holmes writes of love. Love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire itself. It is written that God is love and that we are his expressed likeness, the image of the eternal being. Love is self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. Love is an essence, an atmosphere which defies analysis, as does life itself. It is that which is and cannot be explained. It is common to all people, to all animal life, and evident in the response of plants to those who love them. Love reigns supreme over all. Ernest Holmes also has things to say about immortality, eternality, and perfect peace. I won't read those to you today. Just a reminder that we are humans, and it is human nature to grieve over perceived loss of dear ones. We love them and we can't help missing them. But we also know that there is the eternal life, that they are not gone, but that they have moved on, and that their essence is always with us. And about peace, Ernest says, my peace is found at the heart of God. The heart of God for me is found at the center of my being. It does not matter how closely the confusion of the outer world presses against me. I am not even disturbed by the confusion in my immediate environment. I know that the only way to counteract confusion is to bring peace to play. St. Francis of Assisi, he has a prayer of peace that has been recited, read, cherished, translated into countless languages, and is also a song. But St. Francis of Assisi said, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. My peace is found at the heart of God. So what have we learned? What have we learned? I watched a YouTube video of Lieutenant General Michael Eric Carrillo giving an address at a 9/11 memorial ceremony. I didn't have time to listen to it when I first saw the link to it, so I mailed the link to myself, somehow knowing that this was important, because I knew I would be talking about what we learned today. It is his quote, "You have never been the same since that day." That is the quote from Lieutenant General Carrillo. There are 3 days that are very important here: September 10th, September 11th, and September 12th of 2001. On the 10th, all our lives were about to change, and none of us knew anything about it. It was just another day. Just another day going shopping, going to school, going to work, going to a park, having dinner, just another day. 35% of Americans today were less than 5 years old on September 11th, 2001. So we now have an entire generation of Americans who don't know what life was like the day before 9/11. And no matter where you were or what you were doing on the 11th, as General says, you have never been the same since that day. And I didn't realize it until I heard him say that. None of us have ever been the same. We have moved on in our life. We have healed. We have helped others. But we received a sacred wound that day. And it changed how we see ourselves and our nation and our own safety, the safety of our children. It changed. The entire world was trying to make sense of the inconceivable. Americans were filled with shock, anger, fury, rage over the attacks on our nation. It made no sense to us. And in order to process anything, we need to gain an understanding, as I spoke last week. We can know that it happened, but we need to gain an understanding. We saw ourselves as the beacon of hope for freedom for the entire globe. Anybody who wanted to know what freedom looked like, they could look to us. We were the shining city on a hill. We were the light. How could anyone attempt to dim or douse that light that we saw as being in service to the world? In the aftermath, many changes occurred in our nation, in our first responders, and in our armed forces. We had the Patriot Act. We went to war. Prior to 9/11, such a thing as immediate redeployment was not even a consideration. Our service members deployed, and then they came home. And then maybe a year or so later, they might deploy again. Now, they deploy, they come home, they deploy, they come home, they deploy. And in an all-volunteer service, that really says something. It is now commonplace. We actually reaffirmed what we have that we call the warrior class, the professional military, because we felt so threatened that we needed to know that we were being defended. And we wound up with a military of unwavering commitment, military families with unwavering commitment to support their members. We had more women in the military than you could even think of. And we had more Americans at home who were unwaveringly committed to never again treating our returning military like we did when they came back from Vietnam. So it was a major shift. Right now we have a pandemic, and it seems that we are again understanding how our first responders are the backbone that keeps America functioning. You remember on September 12th, 2001, first responders, the police, the fire department, the nurses, the doctors, the dispatchers, the EMTs, people who were off duty who came in to do duty, people who were retired coming in, are first responders. And it seems odd to commemorate 9/11 when we're faced with this COVID. But we need to remember that this too shall pass. And what is really important is how we survive as one human family. One human family. We want to ask ourselves, are we more united in our commitment in the face of such challenges? More united to our commitment to our way of life? Are we more appreciative of each other? Are we truly going to never forget? Or are we already forgetting? Some say never forget was for the attacks. I say never forget was for the coming together of the community in the face of the attacks. Yes, they were horrific, but what we did as a nation, we came together to always remember what is important. We want to reaffirm our American resolve to be one family. We ought to always remember and never forget that we're in this together. What does never forget really mean? Never means not going back. There's no going back. Never. It's done. We can see that as it's done separating each other in silly little categories when we're all one. Never forget. Never forget that we dream of the realization of tolerance and respect and a communal bond with each other. By saying never forget, we commit to relearn what we learned on 9/12/2001. Never forget how we felt about each other on that fateful day. And so I give thanks as I invite us all to remember that there is only one life, one power, one presence. That same divine essence is in each and every one of us. Each one of us is God expressing. You are God expressing. You are the light of the world. You are the truth of love and peace and wholeness. Your divine essence is immortal and eternal. You will not be on this planet forever. Each of us will return back to the source, the energy, the life, the pure love that we truly are. And let us remember this. Let us remember that whatever we have experienced has passed, and it is up to each and every one of us to step forward in healing, in love, in peace, in community, in harmony, as one. And so it is. I thank you for your time, for your attention. Namaste.